It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
Chicago's top cop addressing the violence that once again gripped parts of our fair city over the weekend. Mm-hmm. 50 people have been shot since Friday, including a 6-year-old girl.
At the end of every weekend, I review the details of the violence that occurs in some of our communities, and quite frankly, I'm just sick of it. There's no other way to describe it. I'm just sick of it.
Another 5 people were killed, among them a teenage son of a Chicago police officer and a 23-year-old Army veteran. Mm-hmm. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson expressed frustration that has marred most of this summer.
We are identifying and arresting individuals with a lack of accountability when they commit these crimes. One of the individuals shot this weekend was sentenced to 5 years in prison in April of 2015 for unlawful use of a weapon by a felon. And yet, little over a year later, he's back on the street to be involved in a lifestyle that got him shot. Another individual was found guilty of unlawful use of a weapon in March of 2015, where he was sentenced to just 6 months probation, and today he's dead. That's just a brief sample from the past weekend. Imagine what we see in CPD over the entire year.
And you can only imagine.
Interesting about this this young man who was gunned down, who's the son of a police officer. Mm-hmm. This kid attends St. John's University in New York City, a great school. He is a graduate of Urban Prep.
Great school.
So many
success stories coming out of Urban Prep.
He is the charter school Urban Prep. Mm-hmm. His father actually was on the job with Eddie Johnson. They were partners at one point.
Yeah, they had a connection in the past. And the Army veteran is actually my friend's son's friend, and they were horrified because he was shot. No gang affiliation. You know, you always say, oh, this is bad guys shooting bad guys. Well, it's not. You had a 6-year-old shot and this Army veteran, and there's a Facebook page set up for him, Abner Garcia, saying, please don't stay quiet. This soldier sacrificed for the country you live in. He didn't deserve to die in the streets of Chicago this way. And it just makes you think this isn't just bad guys gunning down bad guys. It's way past that.
Yeah, it is. And in the case of the police officer's son shot, that appears to be a case of a mistaken identity, too.
Mm-hmm.
The young man that police officer's son was standing with was mistaken for
being someone they thought might have been a gang member.
Yeah. And you know, we it seems like almost an endless parade of summer nights that we wake up the next morning and these sorts of stories dominate. And what do you do? I mean, we could sit and jump up and down and scream and yell about it and say it's wrong. And, you know, and Eddie Johnson's right. And until they start putting people away for a serious amount of time who are unlawfully carrying or discharging a weapon,
mm-hmm.
Or carrying a weapon in the commission of another crime, or attacking somebody, until you put those people away for a significant amount of time, and it starts to get around that's it's not pretty when they go. It's not like, oh, well, you're just going to hang out with your own guys there, until they get there and they realize they're not.
Mm-hmm. And I think you would argue, and I'd argue too, that that's just part of the solution, right? The locking them up part. There's so many systemic issues surrounding this violence that need to be addressed.
Well, the systemic issues will take generations.
Exactly.
In the meantime, there are at least two young men who are dead this Monday afternoon, who are alive Friday afternoon, who shouldn't have died in the streets. And that's just two mm-hmm. of the very many.
I don't know, the building community, educational opportunities and opportunities that provide hope are necessarily generations. But I think that you're right. I mean, they're much more complex problems than just saying, okay, let's lock up the bad guys. But then what we've seen is there are more bad guys behind them. You know, it just, when 15 and 16-year-olds are being drawn to the gang lifestyle, I don't know how you catch up to this every wave coming and saying, okay, I'm going to join this gang too. This is my what I see as an affiliation for hope for me. This is what I see as the answer.
Well, you know, over the weekend I heard a guy being interviewed who talked about something I thought was very interesting, is that that you see, you know, that we talk about single moms. Mm-hmm. And one of the, and this is, you know, one of the psychosocial issues that dominates is it's not so much that it's the mom who's raising the single guy. It's the single boy, right? Or there are multiple boys in a house and that she's not raising him with a father. It's when one of the radicalizing moments for these young boys, you know, when they're 12, 13, 14 years old, is when the mom decides to bring another man into the house and shack up with him. And then those young boys either get kicked out or they feel marginalized by that relationship. And then the anger inherent, and that's one of the recruiting tools that is used by the gangs, is they look for kids who've seen that, you know, where that has happened. That there's a that's and it's not an uncommon thing. I mean, that happens across the board, right? You know, single moms and how teenage boys tend to feel not so happy that their mom is with, you know, some guy that they don't know, and there's rivalry in the household and all those sorts of things, which are, you know, in white suburbia, right, or in the rest of the country, you think, well, that's all. Oh, we'll send the kid to, you know, well, you know what, we'll send the kid over to the school counselor, to they'll, you know, pay $100 an hour for a specialist of some sort. But that's not what's happening in inner city Chicago. And one of the results of that is that it becomes a recruitment tool for gangs. Pretty interesting take.
It is interesting that becomes the sense of hope for young men, that joining that lifestyle becomes what they see as their identity.
Checking in at
number 4.
Donald Trump, Youngstown, Ohio, big speech. ISIS, terrorism, foreign policy.
We must also screen out any who have hostile attitudes toward our country or its principles, or who believe that Sharia law should supplant American law. Those who do not believe in our Constitution or who support bigotry and hatred will not be admitted for immigration into our country. Only those who we expect to flourish in our country and to embrace a tolerant American society should be issued visas.
I think everybody would agree on the simple premise of that. That
sure.
Yeah, well, that seems like a good idea right there.
Right.
Right.
And even the part where he says, if on social media you're denouncing the United States and, you know, announcing your belief in ISIS or any kind of terrorist group, that you should automatically be disqualified. I mean, that all makes sense.
Yeah, well.
It's just.
Yes.
I'm not sure what he's proposing in terms of the details that brings us even a step further with this.
He also wants to shut down the internet over there. Well, I don't even know what that means, shutting down the internet over there.
Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to ChicagoTribune.com.
Top 5-5 continues, checking in at
number 3.
During practice on Saturday, Casey Carson, a linebacker at Western Michigan, was told to look at a video board by Coach P.J. Fleck.
Yes, okay. Coach.
Carson looked up. He saw the face of Rocky himself, Sylvester Stallone, and the Italian Stallion, remember that he was known as that, came bearing life-changing news for the football star.
I didn't play for any Broncos, but I got hit by a few. The fact that you're a walk-on and you accomplished this is extraordinary. And what you were talking
being
about
a fighter,
is
yeah.
It's really amazing.
Fighter, yeah.
It's being a fighter. It's taking the blows, getting up, taking it to your opponent. When sometimes you're so tired you don't think you can do it, but you just find that reserve in there that makes you one step better than you ever thought you can be.
Yo, Rocky, how you doing?
I forgot one thing that's really important. You have gotten a full ride scholarship, my man.
Wow, how about that?
So Rocky agreed to do that.
Isn't that awesome that he chose to be part of that? And he tweeted about it, too. Wow. Congrats to him.
All right.
And his amazing coach, PJ.
It's all that muscle milk he's been consuming.
Do you have the endorsement yet?
Not yet.
You're working on it big time. My gosh.
You know, Kevin, I'm going to give you a little advice that probably the moms of the beautiful women who work around us received.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give away the milk for free.
Got it.
All right.
I'm writing that.
See what
down.
I'm saying right there?
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay.
But how else does he get the endorsement if he doesn't?
You're not going to buy the cow.
No.
If you give away the milk for free. Understand?
I got
okay.
it.
All right. Okay.
That's great advice.
Let's see if you'll let her nod in her head. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
Number two.
Kenny Baker. The actor best known for playing R2-D2 in six Star Wars movies, beginning with the 1977 original, is dead at the age of 81. Baker, and by the way, I thought he was great in that.
I did too.
Baker, who was 3'8", performed as R2-D2 in scenes where the droid was required to show more animation. I don't know how this worked because it just looked like a can.
I honestly didn't know that there was an actor in there until very recently.
Until he died.
I think maybe until he died or until people started talking about that he was not well. Did you know?
I had no idea. In other scenes, the robot was unmanned and remote controlled. In one of his last interviews, he wanted to let people know that he has done more than just Star Wars.
I was in the business 25 years before Star Wars. It was a different era, a different part of my career, really. Got me into films. I did Time Bandits, Amadeus, Mona Lisa, Elephant Man, Willow, Star, Labyrinth, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Sleeping Beauty. I did a lot of other films in between doing the Star Wars films.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I don't understand what's the role.
They said that he would move the top of R2 along with the dialogue, like the dome. He'd spin the dome in reaction to the dialogue and make him shudder and wobble a little bit, according to what was going on.
He sounds lucky. He was lucky. He got to be in Star Wars, and he did absolutely nothing.
He's dead, Violetta.
You can't
the
say
man
that about
is
him.
Dead.
Oh, okay, well.
No. But anyway, yeah, like they said that the rolling along was done with a motor or a cable, but the
yeah,
other
he didn't
stuff.
Have to do that.
The shuttering and the moving and the
shuttering. I mean, they had a dome that moved around.
The dome moved, and he moved it.
But couldn't they have done that with remote control? No. Even then?
You can't do that. How can you do that?
Hold on, line. Oh yeah, that's right. All right, and finally.
Number one.
How about this? Dick Van Dyke went into a Denny's in Santa Monica, California. This sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
Yes,
instead
it does.
Of a joke. And he brought along his barbershop quartet, because, you know, Dick Van Dyke likes that whole barbershop quartet
Still
thing.
Sounds like a joke.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Set up.
The Fantastics. Is what they're known as. I don't understand that, but whatever. They did a surprise performance of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang to the patrons. Dick Van Dyke is 90 years old.
Good for him. Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, you pretty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, we love you. And in my pretty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, what we'll do near far in a motor car, oh, what happy time we'll spend. Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I'll find my friend, my friend. Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. How about that?
It's at a Denny's.
That's
what goes on. Well, I mean, wouldn't he be at the Denny's anyway? Doesn't he get at the Denny's at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and then he gets up at 5 in the morning, mm-hmm. right? Goes to the Denny's at 7 o'clock, meets his buddies. Right,
I can see that.
They
sure.
all sit around and they wait, and then one of them doesn't show up, and they get nervous.
And then they're
home by like 11 o'clock in the morning for their nap, mm-hmm. and then they get up and they watch Fox News. And then it starts all over again. 5 o'clock. Isn't that what?
Until this day, when he brought happiness and smiles to the faces of everyone eating pancakes there.
Yes. Until exactly.
At Denny's
that
today.
Was very good of him.
That was awesome.
He is the best.
The top five at five.